Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. With attitude, bitch.
Okay, I'm not going to let this play for that long if they got to go through that entire intro. I think the point of which has sufficed here. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. And it is September 2nd, 2019. You are listening to The Raw Reaction here on the Chairshot Radio Network. I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. I'm back for better or worse, I guess. It's a complicated situation. I'm going through some stuff in my personal life that has caused me to have to take some time away from the show. Originally, I was planned to return next Monday night. However, the co-hostess with the mostest, Miss Liz Puglisi, got called in to work tonight. Therefore, she was unavailable to do the show. And Tony was in a podcast-doing mood, so here I am. What the fuck is up, Tony? It's been a while.
What up, ho?
What's going on, biatch?
Well, you know, wrestling has been going on, and not much has changed. Actually, I disagree. A lot has changed. I've seen a real, real nice rise in quality. Because you're Harry and you care about the show, I'm sure you've heard of a majority of, you know, the past weeks, and I don't know if you've noticed a slightly more positive take on what I've been seeing. It's been an interesting absence.
Yeah, I think that once we got the fact that you're getting more of a hands-off Vince here, he's handing over more control towards Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, respectively, of both the ins and outs backstage as well as in the ring here. I think that there's been a noticeable extension and improvement in morale in the locker room, and it's leading to better shows as well, because stuff isn't just getting thrown at walls to see what sticks. Now, with a long-term guy like Heyman doing a lot of the booking, you get the opportunity to see some of these guys and girls, such as what we saw tonight, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, coming into their own as both characters and in-ring performers.
Yeah, there's been a lot of focus on taking their time with certain things. And what better way to take your time with certain things than to have a King of the Ring tournament?
Why don't we start with the King of the Ring tournament here, Tony? We had two quarterfinal matches tonight. The other two quarterfinal matches are to happen on SmackDown tomorrow as Andrade takes on Chad Gable, and I'm drawing a blank on the other match already. Holy shit. Tony, can you help a guy out here?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Elias and whoever Elias is facing.
I honestly, like I said,
it's been kind of intermittent in my ability to watch Raw and SmackDown over the course of the last month just due to some stuff going on in my personal life. But either way,
Elias,
those quarterfinal
whoever
matches,
Elias is beating.
I mean, I don't know about that, though, because I'm fully expecting Andrade to beat Gable. And I don't think they're going to go heel-heel on SmackDown for the semifinal match.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
regardless. Well, tonight on Raw, we had our two quarterfinal matches for the red side of the bracket here. And let's go ahead and discuss both of those now real quick. The first of those quarterfinal matches was Baron Corbin taking on Cedric Alexander. And holy shit, when did Baron Corbin get good again?
Well, I wouldn't say again. The last week, I think, or maybe the week before, and as well as tonight, has been a very interesting Baron Corbin. I've been completely impressed. And I can't say that it's a switch of a flip, you know, overnight, because it wasn't that way. I really think it's the opponents that he's had, because the last time I praised him, it was against Ricochet. And this time, we got Cedric Alexander. So there's something to be said about him versus smaller opponents. It just, he looks more menacing. He's a bit more crisp. He tries harder, I think. And these seasoned, you know, acrobats, basically, really, really help him shine. Because I don't want anyone to take away from Corbin from tonight's match. The match was, not only was it good, it started off good, it got better, and then it just got, like, it's like they slowly dug a hook in you. And then just when you were ready to walk out, they pulled you in. And I think that everything was done just great. From him being, from dropping hard elbows onto the shoulder to the whole swinging his head right into the ring post. I mean, just this was a lot of Cedric's doing in terms of, you know, making the match look good. But there's no denying that Corbin really just busted his ass. And if the King of the Ring tournament is supposed to show how well these wrestlers actually can wrestle, I've been thoroughly impressed with pretty much every match, except for maybe like one or two. They've been given time. They've been given an importance. They've been given a reason. The wrestlers have been given motivation. They explain why the King of the Ring is important to them, what it could possibly do for their career specifically. And I've been in love with this entire tournament. I think they've done it really, really well, which is way different than previous tournaments where most matches do not matter, or we get the impression that they don't matter. Every match in the tournament has mattered pretty much, although some of them didn't get the time they deserve or the time that we would want them to have. For the most part, this thing has been really, really done well. My issue is that if it is Corbin that wins it, I think it kind of takes away from any possible growth that someone could receive from being King of the Ring.
Well, we'll talk about what happened in the other quarterfinal match here in a bit, because that actually ties into my prediction for the finals of King of the Ring. Real quick, Elias takes on Ali.
Oh, good. Poor guy.
I feel bad that I forgot about him. Yeah, exactly. Like, I actually really like Ali, too, which is unfortunate. But anyway, he beat Buddy Murphy in what was a really good match on SmackDown 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I've been watching both shows in high frequency recently. Like, I have not been missing, and that's a testament to how well they've been put together for the most part. Of course, because I'm me, and because they're the WWE, there's still plenty of hiccups to point out. But I can't deny that the show's been getting better as weeks go by.
You mentioned the Baron Corbin and the Baron Corbin Miz match, his first round match in the tournament a couple of weeks ago. And that's right there is where we kind of saw the rematuration of Baron Corbin. Because
yeah,
for those of us who saw him in NXT, we knew what he was capable of. We'd just never seen that Baron Corbin on the main roster before, and especially not since he was stuck with that bullshit Constable gimmick. This right here is more Lone Wolf than Constable Corbin, because he's more focused on his in-ring strategy. He's more focused on establishing himself as a guy to be taken seriously rather than being somebody's lackey or somebody's lapdog for the authority.
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, the wrestling was just more crisp. You know, it was more concise, and everything had a reason. You can't deny that this match was, like, you know, was long, because it did get a lot of time, but it didn't feel bogged down by Corbin antics, you know? I don't know. I really enjoyed the match. It was a lot of fun. Cedric Alexander was a good foil to Corbin's, you know, evilness.
Real quick about Cedric Alexander, based on what we saw to set up Cedric's loss here, to kind of protect him a little bit in the loss, do you think we get AJ Styles and Cedric Alexander for the United States title at Clash of Champions?
I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I know that, you know, I don't like the fantasy books, but there's a part of me that feels like they're trying to go the route of putting AJ into the main event somehow, some way, and that would basically tie up the U.S. title. Like, I don't know how they would do it. But anyways, I think there's some convoluted way that they're going to come to. However, if that wasn't the case, I suppose the Cedric match would be really, really good. They just don't have a lot of time to build it. I mean, I've said it before. You don't really need a lot of time to build a match, but it would be nice. I mean, now that you think about it, what happened after the attack, you know, that kind of makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you laid the foundation tonight when AJ Styles and the Good Brothers attacked Cedric in the back when he was having an interview right before his match with Corbin, so it made perfect sense.
Yeah.
If that was the same way into putting Styles and Alexander in a U.S. title match at Clash of Champions. Regardless, the other quarterfinal match in tonight's King of the Ring tournament action was Samoa Joe taking on Ricochet. Had a moment there where I just went blank for a second. Again, it's been a while, folks. Bear with me. I apologize for shit. Anyway, Samoa Joe and Ricochet in the other quarterfinal match here, and I got to tell you, Tony, I hated the finish. I kind of understand why they did what they did in order to put somebody else into the match for next week as a fall guy, because I think they want to protect Corbin and I think they want to protect Ricochet, so I think they're going to put Samoa Joe in that match next week just to take the fall, which is unfortunate for Joe, but not entirely unsurprising. That being said, I thought the match was pretty good, even though it never really got out of first gear tonight. We've seen these two capable of much, much more than what we saw from them tonight, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I think maybe because of the finish, they didn't really go balls to the wall. I think they kind of knew what was coming down, so they booked it in such a way that there was not a lot given away that you might see next week. The idea of having a triple threat is just like, you know, like it really feels like you were doing it just to do it, just to fuck with the tradition of the King of the Ring thing. And I know that maybe in their minds they didn't want Ricochet to beat Samoa Joe cleanly, so, you know, they're doing what you said. They're having him be a fall guy to probably Corbin. But it was just like, ew, it didn't turn me off. It didn't piss me off. It was just like, I wouldn't have done that.
What's your official prediction for the three-way next week on Raw here? Who do you have winning that match?
Oh, Corbin.
See, I think Ricochet wins because I think the final is going to be Ricochet and Andrade.
Wow, that'd be amazing. Andrade would do so fucking, man, just him being a king. You know, that's what I think. We talked about this many times with gimmick matches like Money in the Bank or where there's a prop, if you will. This is one of those things where if you give it to somebody that's kind of already established as an asshole or that already barks about accolades, this is just one more thing. It doesn't make him any better. So Corbin, and it's not because I hate the guy or the character. I'm not, I don't really toe the line of the IWC. It's just him being a king doesn't strike me as interesting. Since he's already Golden Glove, blah, 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 you know, former constable, blah, blah, blah. It just would be another thing to list, so it wouldn't stand on its own. So I'm not interested in that. But Andrade, man, I think personally that's a money decision right there. That would be so great. People would despise it.
And I think not only do I think Andrade would do excellent with the King Crown, I think you could do Queen Zelina as well there and kind of go throwback to Booker T and Charmel back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And use that to make those characters main event level characters. Much like they did with Booker back in 2005, 2006.
Yeah, and I mean, you also give a wrestler opportunity to create their own stamp on it, to be their own, you know, king, their own version of what's been given to us.
All right, the other thing that we talked about in the preview for this show here is the latest in the saga of the Universal Heavyweight title match between Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman. They were going to have a contract signing tonight. However, that fell to pieces when AJ Styles and the Good Brothers got involved and ended up turning into a brawl between all three of them, all five men, really, with Styles involved as well. And AJ Styles ripped up the contract tonight, thus no signing. We will instead have a contract signing in MSG next week with special guest moderator Stone Cold Steve Austin. that did lead us to our opening contest on the match tonight, a tag team match where Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman teamed to take on the Good Brothers, and Rollins and Strowman picked up the win at 10 minutes and 30 seconds, non-title action. Seth pinned Carl Anderson in order to win the match here. I like the idea behind the Good Brothers wanting some revenge on the team that took the tag team titles away from them. However, if you're going to cheese dissension in the ranks here, I don't think that the former champions are the team to tease it against. I think you want to tease it against the next upcoming challengers here. Do like a singles match between Seth and Rude, or Strowman and Ziggler, or something like that, in order to both build to the tag team title match at the pay-per-view, as well as you could tease some dissension in the ranks between Strowman and Seth. The match was okay tonight, but honestly, it didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I spoke about this, I think, last week, where they've been doing a lot of things with the writing that have really surprised me in a really good way. And tonight, it was very, very small, but the contract signing, the fact that it didn't happen, and it was a way for them to, you know, cancel it and get it to happen again next week, and pimp Stone Cold showing up. That's the kind of writing I like. You know why? Because it makes you want to watch next week. And I remember Sasha Banks not saying why she attacked Natalya. I remember over the past like month and a half or so, just a lot of little things where we're really truly creating episodic television as opposed to raw episodes that exist only in a vacuum. And that little AJ ripping the contract up, like, I mean, one could argue, well, I'm pretty sure they could just print another one out. But the idea is that you want to see next week, and you know Stone Cold isn't going to let such and such happen. So it creates intrigue, and it makes you want to watch next week. And sometimes that's all I ever ask of them. I mean, I've said it over and over for however many years we've been doing this. With regards to the match, just before the match, I saw some people comment on how, why would AJ and the club be cool with Rude and Ziggler when they lost the title, blah, blah, blah. You know, another little thing that I liked was that they weren't cool with it. Like, AJ totally ignored them, but they used the numbers game to get what they wanted. I just thought it was super small, but it was nice. It was nice to see AJ not suddenly high-five Dolph and Rude all of a sudden. You know, he just made fun of them. He just made fun of Rude's name. So it was really cool to see that. Obvious, they're real people, they're real characters. Like, I don't like you, but if you're gonna help me beat this guy's ass, then fuck it, let's team up for a little bit. With regards to the match, I agree, it was whatever. I'm not really a big fan of tag teams that don't get along. I mean, I think I've said that many times before. I never understood the appeal of that particular storyline. And also, it's happened so many times that it's not fun. So this doesn't really appeal to me at all. However, again, I got to give them a little credit for trying to do something a little different, you know, with the added, you know, plus of having two matches each night, or two matches on Sunday coming up. So, but this match in particular, it didn't really light the world on fire. I wasn't impressed one way or the other. It was a Seth match. If Andrew was here, he would probably say the same thing. Like, it was a Seth Rollins match, you know, got exactly what you asked for. So, yeah, this is I can't say anything bad about it, but truthfully, you know, it was a bit open.
One of these days we'll get Andrew back here. Yeah, the contract signing segment itself I had no real issue with. It was once it came into the tag team match that I really didn't especially care for the match itself. I get the idea of what they're trying to do here, and especially with the dissension that we see after the match when Strowman is trucking both members of the club and then nails Seth with a shoulder block as well, possibly on purpose. But it just seemed like a long way to go to get to a short distance.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those things, too, you know, to accidentally hit your partner. It happens in every tag team that should or shouldn't like each other. Like, why are you guys suddenly so clumsy? Also, I've not seen any person, but most people would be like, yeah, obviously that was a fucking mistake. Again, you know, it's going to be an interesting next couple of episodes if Raw continues to be the way it is, because it's, knowing my role here on the show, it's very easy for me to pick apart certain things. But because they're creating, or because I see effort it's like easy for me to forgive certain small lapses in logic and, you know, creativity, simply because I'm like, look, they're finally trying.
Okay, so that was the second thing that we said we would discuss in detail. There is a third thing that we're going to discuss in detail as well. However, before we do that, what do you say we hit some quick hits like we used to, Tony?
Sure. Hell yeah.
All right, Natalya and Lacey Evans, really just there to get Lacey some heat back and get another win onto Lacey here. Natalya is basically just a person at this point. She doesn't really mean anything, especially after she had that title opportunity in Canada against Becky Lynch and that whole thing went nowhere, and then Sasha used her as her whipping girl. Do you think that there's anything salvageable with Lacey? Because, honestly, ever since the whole saddling her with Corbin thing, I haven't really seen much of value here.
I never saw value in her. I don't see it. I don't get it. I think the only thing she has is a strong character, but they have been unable to translate that onto a brighter, a bigger stage. Wrestling-wise, she is clunky and not good more often than not. A few moves, you know, that pop people does not make a wrestler, and that's pretty much all she's got. This match specifically, I don't know why Natty was suddenly so chipper and happy when last week she was crying her eyes out, and the week before that she was, you know, sad about her dad. And the match was all Natty. That was all her. It's so crazy to see, like Natalya's got zero personality and all the skill in the world, you know? And Lacey has zero skill and all the character in the world. So seeing them two together was just like, could y'all, like, maybe be one person? I don't know, because...
This would be the part where you say that Sasha is the combination of the two.
No, she is not a combination of anyone. How dare you? And also, I've got some stuff to say about Sasha, okay?
We're getting to her. Don't worry. The women are closing the show tonight, much the same way they did with Raw proper. All right, so we move on from that to the Street Profits still being backstage. And the rumors are that they don't want to use the Street Profits in the ring until they feel that the Street Profits are over with the audience, taking them away from NXT. I think it's a mistake to take them away from NXT, especially with NXT moving to USA Network, because I think you already have a tag team division that you don't do enough with, so why add another pair of bodies to that division?
I don't find the Street Profits to be entertaining at all. I think that they tried really hard. They started off somewhat hot, but now they're just annoying, and they're becoming caricatures incredibly quickly. They're not funny. They try to be funny, but I don't think that they have a wide enough appeal. And it's not their fault. It's the material that they're given, where you're basically just a little recap between, you know, segments. And we just saw that, bro. We just saw it. I don't know if you're familiar with Key and Peele. I'm not too familiar with it, but they have these characters where they're valets, and before their shift, they talk in front of the hotel, and they banter back and forth, but they have, like, this urban patois type of conversation where they mispronounce names, and it's really funny, and they're really hilarious, actually. I encourage you to check it out. They're super small, like, 5 to 7 minute skits. And I feel like every time the Street Profits come on, they're a really cheap and unfunny version of those two guys, where I get what you're trying to do, but it comes off as a little bit fraudulent. And altogether, as I always say, if you could take this off of your show and not miss anything, it doesn't need to be there. And this is one of those segments.
We're back to Viking Raider squashes. I know how you love those.
Yeah, I got nothing good to say about that.
Seriously, you just set them up for a little bit of a run with the Good Brothers, and now they're back to squashing Jimmy and Johnny, no last name? Who gives a fuck?
You know what? I do have something to say. I forgot. There was something that bothered me, and it's something that's been happening for a very long time. Now, Harry, you'll probably remember more so than I ever will, but jobbers, they have always been a necessary evil in wrestling. They're always existed, and they've always been, you know, fodder for big guys. Way back in the day, you know, Hogan was squashing some jobbers. But now, and for the past several years, every single time there are jobbers in the ring, the commentary team is just destroying them. I don't want commentary team to build up, you know, Jimmy and John. I don't think that they need the clout necessary because they're just going to get their ass handed to them. But ultimately, if we are conditioned not to care about the two guys in the ring that are about to get their ass handed to them, then why would we care about the two guys handing their asses to them? You're creating this very, very interesting dynamic in your brain where you know what's going to happen, so you don't necessarily have to care because there's no emotional investment, especially with people like the Viking Raiders. We don't know what that even means.
The Firefly Funhouse returned, and Devil Vince got fed money by Bray Wyatt. Somewhere Andrew is smiling watching this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. It was just altogether kind of a little unnecessary. It's always nice to see Bray Wyatt, and you do want to keep him in the consciousness of the audience. But this was one of the lesser episodes of it. There was a lot of cute stuff, like the rabbit hat with the help sign. Feeding the man money was like kind of chuckle worthy. But ultimately, it was just a way to remind us that he still exists.
Well, I do like the fact that they took something that happened on their online social media platforms with Wyatt challenging the winner of Seth and Braun for Hell in a Cell. Because I think that the longer in advance you set up challenges, the more conditioned people are going to be to want to pay attention to how you get there. And especially if you can keep something interesting between the then and the now. And pretty much everyone has agreed over the course of the last couple of months that the hottest act in the WWE has been The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. The Miz takes on Cesaro, and I feel kind of bad for putting Cesaro in the extra section. He also takes a loss tonight. Miz gets the win with the skull-crushing finale ahead of his Intercontinental title match against Shinsuke Nakamura at Clash of Champions.
Yeah, you know, I hate seeing Cesaro lose, but it just made sense here, so... You know, there's not a lot that I could gain from arguing against the decision. Cesaro's just great. Everything he does is amazing. And this match was fun because of him. But ultimately, The Miz is the one with the title shot coming up. So kind of needed to win this one.
Rey Mysterio and Dominik will apparently push towards what I'm assuming will be Dominik's WWE television debut at some point down the road.
Yeah, I kind of see the same thing, although I'm not really, like, today's promo was kind of repetitive, redundant, and just altogether unnecessary. Rey Mysterio lost a couple of weeks ago, and then they touted tonight as an ultimate big-ass return to Raw, as if he's been gone for months. So that alone was, like, annoying. And then he gets there, and he just does basically a mini promo of what he already told his son when his son convinced him to stay. So it was just kind of like, well, that was pointless.
Oh, real quick, before I forget as well, Roode and Ziggler took out Hawkins and Ryder earlier in the show as well.
Yeah, I don't care about Roode. I don't care about Ziggler. I don't care about Hawkins or Ryder. So this is just a... If I didn't do the Raw report, I probably would have gotten up and ate some string cheese or something.
Yeah, the only thing of actual value here is giving the number one contenders to the Titan titles kind of an elevation win in order to get them in the crowd's consciousness, like you were mentioning about Wyatt going towards the Clash of Champions pay-per-view where they get their title shot. I mean, I don't think anybody really thinks Roode and Ziggler are taking the tag team titles at Clash of Champions because the WWE loves their tag team partners who hate each other shtick. But... if anything, you're at least elevating Roode and Ziggler in the eyes of the audience before said tag team title opportunity. You ready to talk women's division, Tony?
Sure.
All right. So first we see Sasha Banks, because of course we do. Sasha is probably the hottest thing in the women's division right now. Certainly the most talked about on social media these days, at least.
Amen.
And Sasha comes out. Well, actually, first we see Becky Lynch, though, because it was a Becky promo that led to Sasha coming out. So let's first discuss the Becky Lynch aspect of this here. Becky responds to Sasha's promo from last week, which is what I was thinking of. But this week it was Becky first and then Sasha coming out to respond here. Becky saying that Sasha, pretty much what she said from the beginning once Becky started to help do the whole the man thing, that the Golden Girls in NXT were Sasha, Charlotte, and Bayley. Becky was always thought of as the fourth of the four horsewomen. She was the one who was irrelevant. She was the one who did not matter. She has since proven that she does matter, and she's made herself the most marketable attraction inside of the WWE at one point, including main eventing WrestleMania, which stuck in Sasha's crawl that she talked about the promo last week. And she said that if that weirdo wants to make her way to the ring, then she'll smack the blue hair off of her. Becky, you're adorable, but you got to come up with better insults, sweetheart. What did you think of Becky's promo?
You know, I like Becky's promo because it made sense, because it's logical, because it spoke some truth that mixed reality with fantasy, and it created a nice little foundation for Becky to stand upon. Like, she still feels like she's got a little bit to prove, you know? You were once the poster child, and some people say you still are. You got flowers after every match. You're basically a spoiled kid. Well, guess who's the big kid now? You decided to bounce. I'm here. I'm running the show. It's my face on the program. So either deal with it or get in line. That all makes sense. I thought it was great. Although some of the calling somebody a weirdo doesn't have the same panache as, you know, some other insults. Also, calling someone a bitch doesn't do that either, by the way. So I love that. It's Sasha's motivation that kind of bothered me. Now, when I look at her and I adore her from a, you know, a male perspective, I think she's fucking hot as hell. But in terms of her character, we've been led to believe that she... Okay, so on TV, one could assume that we don't know why she left WrestleMania crying in a hallway or whatever. But they're bringing that to light. They're telling the audience about it. So one would assume that people would either try to figure it out or would want to know or whatever. And if they do that, they will find out that Sasha felt, you know, misused, underprivileged, blah, 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 blah. So why tonight did she come out, and why did she go the old heel 101 playbook where the motivation was money? I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it didn't work for me because that's not why she left. Like, she didn't leave because she wasn't getting paid. She didn't leave because she wasn't, you know, getting the money that she wanted to get. She wasn't getting rich, blah, blah, blah.
Just real quick, yeah, she left because she wasn't getting the spotlight she thought she deserved.
Yeah, and because of that, you know, she left. Well, she finally got, you know, she's tweeting about talking to Vince and blah, 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 and she's fully diving into this role of money, money, yeah, yeah, which isn't unlike the boss, you know, Sasha Banks, the ratchet Sasha Banks, that makes sense. But in terms of this specific storyline, her return, her yearning to get back in the spotlight, the idea of money just came off as really, really arbitrary and unnecessary. I feel like they just didn't need that at all. And then when you get to the end of the show, again, that doesn't speak money, you know?
In regards to your comment about Sasha being the hottest thing there.
Aw, Puddin.
Don't you bring her up.
She's watching you with disgust right now, sir.
Did you see CM Punk wearing her shirt on him? That's just, you know what, as much as I love her, that's just nice husband shit. That's something I would wear her shirt.
That is quality husband level ass kissery right there for his StarCast cheap promo video. Yeah, 100% agreed. Anyway, yeah, so Sasha's motivation being money-based tonight, which I guess technically speaking, based on the fact that she missed out on the main event of WrestleMania, she did miss out on that WrestleMania paycheck, and she did bring that up in her original promo last week. So I can't be too mad about the fact that she cited money as one of her major motivations. That being said, Sasha Banks character before that had always been about the spotlight, the marquee matchup, the moment. And she felt Becky had taken that moment away from her by being one of the three women, and in her opinion, the least deserving of the three women in the WrestleMania Women's Triple Threat for the Raw and SmackDown Women's title.
Yeah.
This leads to, a little bit later on, Sarah Schreiber trying to approach Sasha to ask her about her relationship with Bayley. Charlie Caruso asks Bayley about her relationship with Sasha. Neither one of them answered the question. Bayley politely avoids it. Sasha tells Sarah to get the hell out of her face. Our main event on the evening is the Women's Tag Team Women's Showcase, which, given the fact that I just said women's twice, tells you just how female it was. No, seriously, it is the Women's Showcase matches. All four women's champions are involved. As the Raw champion, Becky Lynch, teams with the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, because fuck the brand split in 2019 right now, to take on the Women's Tag Team Champions of Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. The match barely gets going, I thought, because I'm guessing they were rushed for time, because it seemed shorter than it seemed like one of the shortest matches on the night to me, Tony. When Sasha, who had come out onto the ramp during the course of the match earlier on, attacks Becky to get an advantage going into their now official match for Clash of Champions for the Raw Women's title. That's not the big talking point to come out of this episode, but I do want to ask you about your thoughts on giving away the physicality, a little bit of physicality tonight between Sasha and Becky.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be a good match coming up. I think that ultimately it's gonna be one of the better matches that Becky has had as champion. We still got a couple of weeks, so you got to slow burn it a little, and I think that they're doing a really good job with that. I wish Sasha's motivations were a little bit more specific to why she left, you know, but you know.
15th or 22nd, Tony? Isn't it the 22nd for the Clash of Champions?
What? You want me to what?
You don't know either? Well, damn. Ain't none of us paying attention, apparently. Damn. September 15th. So we actually have 1 week left in the build.
Oh, okay.
Next Monday night will be the go-home. So that takes us to how we go off the air for Raw tonight. As Sasha's beating Becky with the chair, much like she did when she made her return a couple of weeks ago, and Bayley puts a stop to Sasha beating Becky with the chair, only to beat Becky with the chair herself. Bayley heel turn. I like it for the shock value. Like, I think that you had to do something with Bayley, and especially with her showing more and more of an attitude recently that this kind of checks in line with her new attitude of tired of being a whipping post in the women's division, that this is a Bayley that's going to get what she wants, that's going to take it what she wants no matter how she has to do it, and is going to do whatever it takes to stay the SmackDown Women's Champion as well as to try to make herself as important in this women's evolution.
It's a mystery.
As somebody like Becky has made herself. It just seemed like it came out of nowhere since you're already building towards Sasha. That it seemed like you already building towards Sasha and Becky for Clash of Champions, it seems like putting Bayley in this spot as well kind of comes out of nowhere and makes me concerned about where Bayley's future is going to go on SmackDown with who she's going to be facing over on the Blue Brand.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for sure weird timing.
Okay. Shock and all aside, what do you make of this?
I'm ecstatic about it. It does feel a little weird and with regards to when it's happening, but Bayley's been stale for quite some time, and she has the title. I mean, you got to make her interesting, or at least try to. I think that her teaming with Sasha, you know, kind of falls in line with everything else. I'm hoping that she doesn't say the same thing Sasha did, like money, but more like, you know, you. If they're going to cry and whine on the hotel floor, bring that to the front like you've been doing. Let them talk about it. All you guys keep talking about this when you have no idea why. You know, we left because this, and whatever, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I just think it's a possibility for a whole new Bayley. You know, say goodbye to the wacky, wavy, inflatable arm flailing tube men. Maybe get a different hairstyle. And just get ready to fucking heal it up. You know, this is the first time Bayley's been like a heel, so from a wrestler standpoint, have fun with it, because you you and I have been around enough wrestlers to know that being a heel is so much fun for them.
I think Bayley's underrated in terms of in-ring action. So I'm curious to see what this heel turn represents in terms of who she faces over on the Blue Brand, because there's not a whole lot of baby faces over on the Blue Brand that aren't invested in other situations, such as Asuka and Kairi Sane in the women's tag team division. Liv Morgan's written off of television right now, and Carmella's too busy running around doing R-Truth bidding.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious as to, like, who's left over on the Blue Brand for Bayley to face off with now that she has this new persona, this new more aggressive attitude, this new take-no-prisoners kind of attitude.
All right, well.
Anything?
Oh,
nothing to add to that?
No,
just...
No, I mean,
if
kind
you
of said
think,
my piece.
Can you think of somebody on SmackDown who Bayley could end up going across from now because of everything here? You kind of had the situation with Bayley and Charlotte set up over on SmackDown here, but you're not going to turn Charlotte babyface, are you? Question mark?
I don't know. I wouldn't, but it's a weird place to put Bayley in. She's got the blue belt, and it sounds like the focus may be a little bit more on the red belt. Although, you could just go one more week and, just go heel versus heel. It's still going to be a good match. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying they booked themselves in a corner, but this is the kind of TV that I want. I don't really want to know. I want to see what happens. I want to see them write good shit and then, you know, just show me. Like, they know what they're doing. Like, chill out. I know what I'm doing.
That's a fair assessment, I guess. I mean, and with the way that it's been presented recently, too, it definitely, you see the opportunity for them to be telling more and more episodic television here, like you talked about earlier on in the show. So, realistically speaking, you're more likely to give them the benefit of the doubt as far as being able to pull this off than maybe we would have been, say, 6 months ago.
Yeah. I don't know. nothing significant changed with my way of viewing the show. But little things like, you know, that they've been doing, at the very least, had made me want to watch next week. And that was going away for a while.
That's going to wrap it up for this week, however. And we go into our final reaction, Tony. Favorite match or moment tonight?
Cedric versus Baron.
I can't believe I'm
really
about to say this, but I want to. I can't believe I'm about to. I 100% agree with you, Cedric versus Baron.
Yeah.
I thought Baron brought it, and Cedric brought everything Cedric has been bringing.
Yeah.
Least favorite match or moment?
Well, since there wasn't any 24/7 shit, didn't have to deal with that. I'd say the finish to Joe and Ricochet, specifically the ref. It's always weird to see referees act this way when we've never seen it before and we've seen this situation 1,000 times before. You've never seen a ref leave the ring and go grab the timekeeper's headset and talk to whoever he was talking to and then say, I'll take it under advisement. Like, okay.
I believe he was talking to Mike Chioda because I heard the name Mike there, but I understand it now. I'm going to go with the Rey Mysterio promo. Completely underwhelming.
Okay, that's a close second, for sure.
Nothing of value was added in that segment there. I know where we're going with this with Rey and Dominic, and I understand where we're going with it here, but it's taking us a long time to get there. Overall rating, scale of 1 to 10.
I'm going to go 7 out of 10. It's a nice 7 out of 10, but the wrestling was good, the motivations were good, there were a couple of little hiccups that we've talked about throughout this whole show. I think that a 7 out of 10 for me is a very high ranking compared to what we've gotten over the past year, so I'll stick with that.
I'm slightly behind you at a 6.5.
I didn't care for the opening tag team match. I thought it was cliche, if I'm being entirely honest. I didn't care for the no contest finish in the other King of the Ring match. And the only really standout match that we had out of the 8 matches on the show because of the disqualification finish in the main event was the aforementioned Baron Corbin Cedric Alexander match. There was still a lot of good wrestling on the show tonight. It's just a good portion of that good wrestling was irrelevant wrestling as well. Who's your MVP tonight, Tony?
I'm going to give it to... I'm going to give it to Sasha Banks for that bodysuit.
I'm going to stay in the women's division and go with Bayley. What happens next is the most important thing for Bayley, though. Because you can do everything that you've done. You can do everything that you've done with Bayley tonight and have people talking about her, but how you follow it up is going to depend on how much people actually talk about her in the future. With Becky, they actually followed up on it, and Becky became the hottest act in possibly the entirety of professional wrestling. Do I think that Bayley's going to do the same thing? No. Do I think Bayley has the potential to become the same thing? Possibly, if done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to wrap it up for us, Tony, in 46 minutes.
Cute.
It's not even 10 o'clock on the West Coast.
Nope.
Look at you having some extra free time and shit. Real quick, did you watch either TakeOver Cardiff or All Out over the weekend?
Man, I tried so hard. I had the busiest weekend ever. I watched All Out before Raw up until the end of talking Kenny Omega, and that was amazing. So I still got a lot of wrestling to catch up on.
I have unfortunately not had a chance to check out either show yet. I'm hoping to have both of them watched by the time we reconvene here next Monday night, and maybe we can do a little bit of discussion about both of the major shows. Question, since SmackDown's moving to Fox on Fridays in October and AEW's debuting on Wednesdays in October as well, do you want to start teasing people as to what's going to happen to the show come the end of this month, or do you want to just wait off on that and tell people more details towards the end of the month?
Yeah, we'll wait a little bit and get closer towards the specific date.
It's still going to be the same people. It's just the way that we handle the shows is going to change. We'll explain more about that later on here. In addition, you can find out all the information you want to find out about AEW, WWE, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and all of the other major professional wrestling organizations by checking out thechairshot.com as well as visiting Tony's place of employment on the interwebs, 411mania.com/wrestling. For the Down Since Day One co-host Tony Acero, I am Harry Broadhurst, thanking you for listening to this September 2nd edition of the Raw Reaction here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Send us home, Tony.
Deuces, bitches.
You have been listening to the Raw Reaction here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Join us again next Monday night for the go-home episode of Raw to Clash of Champions as Harry Broadhurst, Tony Acero, and Liz Puglisi bring you the Raw Reaction, a presentation of the Chairshot Radio Network online at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.